This is She's an Empire.
She's an Empire.
She says it much better than I do. Get ready to go behind the curtain of success. Turn your ideas into a scalable reality. Create multiple income streams and build your empire from the inside out. Yes, we're talking personal and business mastery.
Mastery.
Get inspired, fired up with international speaker and America's number one purpose, product and profit strategist, Lisa Geis, founder of the Women Reign Network and creator of Her Money, Her Business, Profit Results Program. So get ready for your leap, your launch, and the creation of your legacy.
She's an empire.
Thank you for joining us today. I am so, so excited about our current guest. She is the CEO and founder of Course Consultant, an online e-learning agency that helps CEOs and small business owners expand their online services and programs with online training solutions. Her master's degree in instructional development and over 5 years' experience in training and development, along with her passion for creating curriculum, helps businesses expand their sustainable offerings. Please welcome Melody Johnson. Melody, are you there?
Yes. Melody, can you hear me?
I can. We had a little technical difficulties in the beginning, but that's okay. We're going to keep it pushing, right?
Yeah, thank you.
How's your day going so far?
It's going well, Lisa. How's yours?
It is going amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I truly appreciate you, Queen. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
I just have to let you know, I have to make a little confession here. You posted something about 4 months ago that really piqued my interest, and I kind of want to talk about it today. And I know you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know what I posted 4 months ago.
Yes, that's my exact thought.
You're like, oh my gosh, there's been like 1,000 posts since then, right? but you actually shared with your audience about your breakthrough, and it was your mental breakthrough that you had, which led to, or I'm really thinking that it was probably part of your breakthrough, because you know, as coaches and consultants, there are so many things that happen along the way that lend to our ultimate aha moments, right? That bring us to the point where we say, wow, it was this little piece and then that piece that finally get us to the point where we see it all came together, and this is now why we are where we are in our success path. But it was your aha moment where you started to see the pieces kind of falling into place, and you started to realize, wait a minute, this delegation thing, I might be onto something. And I'm going to read something that you wrote. And it said, my big takeaway nearly 6 months ago was when I realized that my $200 task was keeping me from my $2,000 task. And now I know that my $2,000 task kept me from my $10,000 task.
Oh, yes. I remember posting that.
That was so powerful. Like that's earth shaking.
Yes, absolutely.
Because so often, especially as entrepreneurs, we become so emotionally attached to the things that we create, right? Us as creators, we become attached to things. And so we don't want to give it away. We don't want to delegate. And because we don't want to delegate, we hold on to every little thing, not realizing that one thing that we're holding on to is the one thing standing in the way to our more. Can you kind of expound on that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually, to go back a little bit more about me, I started out as a freelancer after I transitioned away from my corporate training and development position, which I had for several years. I decided to really grow my business and really try to make a living online. And I decided that I would do it all myself, as many of us do when we're first starting out, work very hard and very strategically to gain customers and clients, and saw very much a success. And so I just recently surpassed 5 figures months. And so I wrote a blog post about it. And so in that thought post, which I shared, I really just shared, one, how is it that I can actually create more consistent revenue? And that's truthfully, it comes down to prioritization of the tasks that I have and just think more long-term strategically about where my business is going. And so a lot of us, when we're first starting, we tend to think about what is the here and now that I'm stuck with that I need in order to complete today. But the truth is, if you start thinking, where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years, you're going to be able to think about your business as a whole, because sometimes we get stuck in our business, but we're not thinking about how to work on our business. And so if you work on your business, where your business is headed, how you can be more strategic and create a better business for yourself, and really think about the lifestyle that you want to lead, you can actually create more alignment with your business services, your strategic offerings, if you offer some sort of course or a passive income product, and then develop it in a way that's going to sustain you in a business that you truly love. And so that's where the framework comes into play, because I often find that people who are first starting out, they're so concerned over, I've got to get this blog post up today. And yeah, blog post is a great way to reach new clients, but truthfully, it's not going to get you strategically to where you need to go if you are not thinking ahead. And so that's where that post came from.
So basically what you're saying is, operate with the end in mind versus just where you are right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Be more strategic. It's all about being strategic and thinking through what you're doing so that it aligns with your overall goal and your mission, your values, and in what you want out of your business.
So if a client comes to you and says, but I just have a passion, because I'm pretty sure you've heard that before, right?
I think mostly what I hear is, I just have this really great idea. Okay. And so a great idea that, you know, if someone says, I have a great idea, and then they say, but I'm dot, 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 I'm too busy, I don't have enough money, I don't feel that I am qualified, dot, dot, dot. So there's all these buts. Mm-hmm. And what I want to say mostly in a nice way, of course, is to really say, okay, however, if you were to take away your but and turn it into, I haven't yet, but I will, it starts to take away this thought process that you can't, because you can replace the but with I haven't yet or I will. And then you have so much more freedom, because when you replace that I can't with I will or I haven't yet, but I will, it becomes much more empowering. And so we take away all of the stress of having to feel that, no, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, with I can do this, I want to do this. And that's where we can find our zone of genius. And that's where we can truly see that growth come into play.
Yeah, so often, I totally agree with you. So often they get bogged down into the how-to. And, you know, I'm just listening to you speak and I'm like, okay, we're kindred spirits. It's a given here. they get bogged down into the how-to, and it's the how-to that actually becomes discouraging. And once they realize that they don't have to somewhat focus so much on the how-to, of course, that's what people like us are for, right. To show them the how-to. But if they just stick with the idea, and then, like you said, to show yourself, you know, think about the idea and then come from the perspective of, now that I have the idea, let me stay in the positive realm. Let me stay in that positive realm and stay there versus the what I can't do. Let me stay in the positive realm and find some outside help as to the how to. It's possible. It's possible. But as a newbie, sometimes it's difficult to do that. So what would you say for someone who's new in the entrepreneurial space, who doesn't know how to actually seek out how to find a coach or a consultant? What is some advice that you would give that person? What questions should they ask?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is to identify your strengths as an entrepreneur. And in, especially in the initial stages, it's easy to focus on, well, I'm lacking in this and I'm lacking in that. And all of a sudden it becomes this big boohoo fest where we're just crying on the ground thinking, I'll never, I can't, I won't. It's never going to be what I want. When in reality, it's, I can do that. It is exciting to see where my business will take me. I'm hopeful that I will be able to accomplish the goals, and I will, with the right help, the with the right resources, and with the right tools and support. And so what that looks like for me when I, you know, talk with clients is, one, identifying what is it they're super passionate about. And I call that the zone of genius. What is it that the world needs? What is it that the world is willing to pay you for? And what is it something that you're passionate about? And so when you're finding out this whole concept of what is your zone of genius, I refer to this concept called the Ikigai principle, which is a Japanese concept. And it's just kind of the idea of what wakes you up in the morning, what gets you out of bed. And then the second thing is to then say, okay, what isn't something that is your zone of genius? For me personally, that's bookkeeping. I absolutely hate bookkeeping.
Oh, so, join the club.
Yeah. And so it is an imperative that as a business owner, I identify where my books are, where the income is coming in and the cash flow going out. So that is something that I need help with. And so, you know, I reach out to other people who are more qualified experts who have that zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And then I say, okay, you know, I am not good at this. I, you know, am honest with myself. So there's that bit, you know, you have to actually do the internal work to say, I'm not good at this, and then say, how do I get better at this? So you can A, do it yourself where you're trying to search online, to purchase a digital product or course, which I, you know, I do occasionally also do that as well. Or three, hire a consultant or a service-based business that actually provides that result that you're looking for, because you're going to save a lot more headache, a lot more hassle versus you trying to figure it out yourself. Because truthfully, your brain, it just doesn't work like that if that is not your zone of genius. I'm not saying you couldn't figure it out. It would just take longer and you would probably be really frustrated. Like I have been many times in the past trying to do my own bookkeeping. Mm-hmm.
I always say, know how you tick. I call it the tick method. It's like, that's not my thing. I don't tick that way. So if you put me in a situation and I don't tick that way, then that, again, like you said, that's where the frustration comes in. It's always better to know how you tick, and that's not my thing. So let me go ahead and delegate that service and make my life a lot more happy and pleasant, so that I can be a pleasant person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me keep a smile on my face.
You know, yes.
Let me stay in a space where my creative juices can continue to flow, because if I'm focused on that, then my creative juices don't flow and I can't create anything, any programs. I can't do anything. So yes, I agree with you on that. Now let's talk about this ROI. I see that you are heavy into the ROI as I am as well. And I think that as a business owner, it is important for us to remain focused on that, because it's nice to, you know, sometimes get into the fluff and just, you know, go about our day and be happy and stay in the creative space. But we have to keep our eye on the prize, which is the money. And so often some business owners do not keep their eye on the money, and then they wonder, where is the money?
Exactly. So, yes.
With that being said, keeping your eye on the money requires you to also know which tasks bring in the money, which tasks do not bring in the money. So can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, I just had a free training on this, and it's a really fun training topic, and it's called How to Create Magical Offers That Sell Like Hotcakes. And so I talk a lot about the idea of the digital online space, where we're constantly being, in a way, told that free content is really going to somehow convert to paid content. And yet, you know, the truth is we're really working for free when it comes without a strategy. I'm not saying don't create any free content. I'm saying think about your content strategically.
Can you say that again, please? Please say that again.
Yes. So somehow we are told that creating free content will somehow lead to paid content. But in reality, that's not the case. So what we need to do is actually think about the strategic content that's going to lead to a paid offering. And we actually do a disservice to ourselves, to our customers, to our clients, and to our audience if we don't provide paid opportunities to work with us in some way. And so when we do that, and we sell ourselves short because we're afraid of, one, putting people off if we don't, if we somehow seem like we're selling something, we're afraid of selling our services. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that, again, we are doing a disservice, because I actually talk about this in the training, but essentially, whenever it comes to me going out to town and I'm hungry, I want to go out to grab a bite to eat. What if this restaurant owner said, oh, I'm scared about selling this discounted sandwich because I don't want to turn this customer off. I would like it if they just somehow landed in my store and purchased this sandwich. Wouldn't that be magical? But here's the truth. Businesses out there need to do marketing, and we need to actually share with people the opportunity to work with us. And so when we get over that hump, when we get over the fact that, yes, we have to make a connection to make a sale, when we do it in a way that's authentic to ourselves, our personality, and what we're providing as a sense of service or value, it's then when we're truly going to not only see the transformation in our bank account, but we're also going to see a transformation in the lives of our clients and our customers. And so that's truly what I want people to understand. It is not a bad thing to sell your services. Truthfully, if you're not doing that, you're not really going to see a transformation in anyone's life, no matter if you're a heart-based business owner or otherwise. So that's truly what you should be focused on. What ways can you bring in new clients or customers in an authentic way to share with them an opportunity to either work with you through a coaching program, a course, or some sort of service that you're offering? And in doing so, you can actually support more people, sustain your family, sustain your business, and make a living online. So that's really what I want people to understand.
And I think you just need to drop the mic on that. Did you guys hear what she just said? Did you hear what she just said? Now, she right there, she's talking about your family. And in my last episode, I talked about so many entrepreneurs are out there and they're giving their time away. They're giving their time away. They're not charging what they should be charging. And in doing that, how they're robbing their family. Literally robbing their family. And what you just said is you're giving them their power back. You're giving them their power back. She just gave you a way to take back your power and show you how to actually start charging your worth. Start charging your worth. I love it. I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, what are we in business for, right?
gonna make money somehow. So I think that people are afraid to make money because they feel somehow that it's, you know, doing people a disservice by not selling, because somehow we've been conditioned to tell people, well, you know, I'll give it to you for free, or I'm just going to give you a discount. But the reality is, a lot of times people aren't even asking for the discount. You're somehow just telling other people, I'll just give it to you for free, I'll just give it to you at a discount. Guess what? I would rather just get something upfront and support a business that I love, that aligns with my vision, my values, and my mission. And I don't want to always have to pay a discount. Now, I'm not going to say that discounts aren't helpful. Discounts have a purpose sometimes if you're doing a sale or you're trying to drive traffic towards a new thing. But you have to be strategic about it, because if you're not going to make a sale, the reality is you're just not going to make it in the long term. And so you're really not going to be able to do all the fun things that you want to in your business if you don't have revenue driving at the forefront.
And you just want to make sure that any relationship that you enter into, and that means a personal relationship or a business relationship. And when you enter into a relationship with a customer, that is a relationship, that it is a fair exchange. And fair exchange means the customer is showing up to purchase your product or service, and that you are there to provide them with a service or product. That is a relationship. A fair exchange means that they're getting something and that you're getting something also in return. That does not mean free. Fair exchange. It doesn't mean that you walk away feeling like you've given away the store and you've been robbed, or that they're walking away feeling like they've been robbed. It's fair exchange. And as long as each person is coming to the relationship in a fair and respectful manner, then I think that, you know, it's something that can go on, and you you know, everybody can come to the table respectfully and we can continue to do business together in a respectful manner. I have plenty of customers who have turned into clients who have then turned into me being their customers because now they have products and I've purchased from them and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's something that definitely you want to facilitate. Free is, absolutely, you know, free is okay. Discount is okay. If there's a, you know, Black Friday or, you know, something like that, you want to, you know, a special occasion or something like that, but not just a given that you're going to just be giving your products and services away. Again, especially women business owners, I tell them all the time, we have a lot more on our plate. We have children, we have husbands, we're taking away from our families every time that we go out and do business, we're taking away from our families and we are to be compensated for that time. Simple as that. I want to ask you about systems and automation because I think that's another thing that you have shown to be passionate about. So can you share with the audience the importance of automation?
Yeah, so I want to break it out into the two different categories there, systems and automation. Definitely, there's definitely room for both. The first thing I would say is when you're first starting out in your business, you need to actually determine which tasks are repeatable that have a low return on investment. So let's say, for example, blog post creation. Now, SEO optimization, or for those who are not familiar with that term, search engine optimization is a long-term game, meaning that you want to eventually have people come to your website and learn more about you. Just like you would want to have traffic go to a physical location or store, you want to generate traffic organically or through paid advertisements to have people become more familiar with who you are and what you do. And so long-term strategy for search engine optimization is to have keywords that are optimized to land more people onto your website. And to do that, you need to have some sort of free type of content. I'm not saying tons of content, so you don't have to constantly feel like you're creating new things without a strategy, but strategic free content to lead to people to your ultimate solution or offer, whether that's a service, a digital product like I create, or some sort of group coaching program or consulting work that you do. And so if you were to say, okay, I can either work on one, developing a new group coaching offer and developing that program, or two, write a search engine optimized blog post. Now, if I were to take a step back and look between the two options, the tasks, you might feel somehow compelled to create the blog post first. But the reality is, if you look at the return on investment, your group coaching program, if you're running it for $2,000 to $10,000 or more, your return on investment is actually much higher if you're going to focus on the group coaching program versus a blog post, which can be easily handed off to a virtual assistant or an administrative executive. So if you were to look at that, you would then need to determine what tasks are repeatable. So for instance, I actually created a content marketing template, which outlines the specific tasks that I need to hand off to my virtual assistant. So I hand those off, for example, that those would be identifying the keywords, what internal links do I need to include, what Canva graphics do I need to include for the podcast episode, because I also have a podcast, and then providing that and handing it over and saying, okay, based off of the training that I provide you, because you're always going to provide training because it's going to be done the right way the first time versus the wrong way, because you're going to invest some money into this, you're going to hand that over. And then it frees up your time to be working on the more higher ticket, higher return on investment types of strategic offerings. So that is important. And then the second thing is automation. So let's take, for example, my digital courses. I also think the same rule applies for services, but if I were to take it into context for digital courses, what do I want the customer to experience that will make this learning experience so exciting and so very much helpful that customer is going to come back to me and say, wow, I really liked that. Like if we were to take into consideration a similar situation, if we're going into a store, if I went to a store and I said, I want to buy this smoothie and the smoothie was delicious, the service was very supportive, and I had a question, somebody answered me right away. More than likely, if I hit all of those pain points and it was a beautiful experience, I'm going to come back to that smoothie place because I love it. And vice versa, if I were to actually go into a store and the customer service was terrible, the line was really long, the floors were sticky, and I overpaid for my specific smoothie and it was terrible, I probably wouldn't go back. So we want to create a way that's a scalable system or automation so that it's the same experience every single time for every single customer. And if they need help, they know where to turn. And so how I do that in my digital products is I actually have an onboarding curriculum. For example, when a student goes to my website, they have a button to click over to pay. They then pay. And then through that exchange of payment, they'll then be added to my email list with specific emails targeted to them based off of the curriculum that they purchased. And they'll have access to review that material for a lifetime. If they have questions, they know how to reach out to me, because inside of the course, I have an area where they can reach out to me directly with information about my email address. They have access to receive information about where to find me on Facebook. And I do it in a way that's repeatable and sustainable, so that I'm not constantly answering the same questions. If somebody has a question, they can reach out to me, but I try to go over those systematically within my course because I'm listening to the frequently asked questions I have from customers or clients. So that's the way that I set up my automations. If you have a team, use some sort of system. Have a project management board where you can assign tasks and checklists. You know, Asana is really great. Trello is really great. You want to do it so that it's the same process every single time. And if there's ways to improve it, you can do that over time as well. But it doesn't have to be where you're trying to recreate the wheel every single time, because not only is that not sustainable, but it's also not efficient. And so you're going to waste valuable time when you could be working on something that's going to generate revenue.
So basically what you're saying is, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs believe, oh my gosh, I don't have a team. That means that, you know, I can't do what other people are doing. So you're saying that it's attainable no matter what stage of entrepreneurship that you're at. What she's telling you is all you have to do is pay attention to where you are and then just duplicate what it is you're doing. So if it is, you know, if it's something, if you're doing a task and you're saying, okay, my clients like it this way, I'm just going to make templates. I'm going to produce those templates. I'm going to make sure the emails follow that template and just recreate. Don't recreate the wheel. Keep doing the same wheel. Don't keep recreating. So that's all she's telling you. No matter what stage you are at in your business, make sure that you're creating that system over and over and over and over to make it easier for yourself. So, because I hear that all the time. I hear people say, I don't have a team, and they get hung up on the fact that they don't have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Some people don't even have 2 people or 1 person. They're doing everything themselves, and they feel like, you know, they feel somewhat defeated. And what you just said is you don't have to have all of that. You can actually just pay attention to your own steps and just duplicate what it is you're doing.
Right. And that's another thing. If you are a service-based business owner, I think that when you're first starting out, you're going to have to learn what it is that you are repeating. You don't really have the data to look back at. You're just kind of winging it. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But when you do it 5, 6, 7 more times, you're going to find, oh, shoot, you know, this client asked this question. And then if you're super busy, and you're really busy, and I understand that, it, you know, because I worked full time, I did a master's degree, and I was also trying to build my business at the same time. So I realized that, you know, it's very time consuming to do everything, and it's very exhausting mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But the truth is, like, you need some time to clear your head. And so I'm actually part of a program where I'm doing some mindset work myself. And one thing that my coach had recommended that I do was to actually think about, where do my best ideas come from? And to actually think about that, I realized that I find my best ideas when I'm rested, when I have some time away from my work. Because if we're constantly working, sometimes there's things that we can't see. And so sometimes we need to either A, invest in a coach for them to actually tell you something that you're missing in their zone of genius that they see in you, or 2, really just take some time away and think, okay, you know what? instead of me actually recreating the wheel on this specific project, I should just streamline my service so it's not customized every single time. So it's the same step, repeatable. And then eventually, you know, maybe you'll get enough money to hire somebody. And no, you don't have to if you don't want to, but it certainly helps. And so I do think that there's a way to do it by yourself, where you're working smarter and not harder. You're working strategically to create the systems so that if somebody, you know, were, for example, if you were sick, what's going to happen? Are you going to hand over part of your business to a friend, a family member, a strategic partner? If you don't have a plan in place, well, you know, Murphy's Law will happen. Yeah. And so have a plan in place, think about the future, and just commit to yourself and say, I am going to be successful. I am going to have the business I want. In order for me to do that, I need to take the first step. And that is identifying the process that is going to be so repeatable that I can hand it over either to someone else, or I can do it without having to work so hard. Taking the load off yourself by making it streamlined.
And, you know, I will admit that in the beginning of my business, that was a mistake that I made. I wanted to make sure that, you know, my hands on, my warm and fuzzy for every single client. Hey, you get me, you know, I wanted to make sure everybody felt the love. And so I did everything from scratch, every single client. And that got old really fast. It got old really fast. And I realized, like, okay, this isn't working. I felt burnt out. I felt like, oh my gosh, I have another client. I'm starting over. I literally felt like I was starting over from scratch every single client. And so it definitely pays to have the templates, you know, even if you don't want to do them yourself, go on like Fiverr or, you know, some other service and have the templates done. Any service you need to outsource that to, have it done where you can just put those templates out and service your clients so that you're actually showing up for your clients. Because if you're burnt out, you're not being your best for your clients. And that's what you need to put in the forefront of your mind. If you're experiencing burnout, you're not showing up for your clients. And so, you know, it's really important that we, again, not recreate the wheel, and that we actually give them the best, definitely give them what they're paying for. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you pay for a coaching service, and after you've paid for it, you're like, oh my gosh, is this what I've paid for? Have you ever had that experience?
No, thankfully I haven't had that. But I definitely feel like I sometimes find it myself where I think to myself, you know, what is it that my customer is experiencing? You know, am I smiling when I'm on the call? And is that smile fake? Is that truly a real smile? And I say that only because I don't know if you've ever been overworked or, you know, on the verge of burnout. When that happens, you can't show up. Your brain is so overwhelmed mm-hmm. with too much information mm-hmm. and you just can't show up. And so then all of a sudden things start to feel heavy. You start missing things in the client's work and you can't show up to be yourself. Things don't feel easy. They feel
forced.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They feel forced mm-hmm. and it feels inauthentic. And then all of a sudden you have a business and you ask yourself, is this the business mm-hmm. I want? And so I did that about, you know, 6 months ago, five-ish months ago. And I was at that point, I was at the burnout phase. And I asked myself, I said, is this the business I want? And I had to be honest with myself. And I said, no. And so I said, well, why is it not the business I want? And I realized, you know, quickly, because I very much am an internalization person and I reflect on things. And I realized I was A, overcommitting to projects by trying to customize everything. B, also not increasing my rates when I was overwhelmed with client work. And then C, I wasn't actually creating healthy boundaries with my time and my work and my services. And so I actually then decided to hire a coach myself, hired her, and she's been excellent to work with. And so
you mean a coach who's a coach?
Yes,
oh, and I figured.
I
Go you know figure what? That I concept.
Right. No, I think that that's so important.
Oh, it's imperative. Really. It's imperative. It's imperative. I tell everyone, a coach who doesn't have a coach is a coach who cannot serve.
Yes. Yeah, I'm all about that. I have two coaches. Like, I am all about the investment in myself. And I go and I ask myself, if I can't spend that money with other coaches and consultants, how can I expect other coaches or, you know, any other businesses to invest in me? Absolutely. Because yeah, and it's a value add to my customers because now I've got the knowledge of all these great people in my life, just like, you know, you've got all this knowledge in your business. And so, you know, all the knowledge that you accumulate, it really adds so much more to yourself, to your business, and to your customers.
Absolutely. But I don't think sometimes customers or clients don't understand all that we have to do in order to show up for them. And, you know, not that we're upset to do it. We love what we do, but it takes a lot to be able to feed. And I always tell anybody that I come in contact with, whether I'm coaching you or not, I always say, make sure that when you pour from your overflow and not your cup. But in order to pour from your overflow, that means you have to feed yourself a lot. And that's where coaches come in. That's where, you know, your spiritual feeding comes in, your mental feeding comes in. There's a lot that we have to do in order to be able to show up for the world in the way that we do, in order to continue to pour so that we never enter our cup. Because once you get to the point where you are entering your cup, that means you're already depleted. And so in order to not get to a burnout state, that's the cup. The burnout state is already in the cup. Once you get to that point, now we're in the red. Now we're in the red. That's when we need to take a vacation. That's where we need to maybe, you know, shut things down and take a reprieve somewhere. Unfortunately, with Corona, we haven't been able to do those types of things. But yeah. That's the warning flag. So, yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that goes into being able to feed other people, but you have to be fed first. So being fed is having a coach, having mentors, things like that. So I definitely tell people, as a coach, you have to have a coach, several coaches, mentors, you have to have all of that. We don't just show up and look great for nothing. This is work. This is a lot of work. So it is. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work because we there's a lot of knowledge that we have to show up and give. A lot of knowledge, you know, and it's not just the knowledge, but also the personal side, the personal development. I'm pretty sure your clients, the personal development side of it as well. People don't understand that as you feed on the business side, that personal development, you have to pull them up on that side as well. So,
yes, it's a huge investment. It's an investment to work with other people in emotionally, mm-hmm. and when you think about that, you know, when. Like, let's say, for example, you know, you get feedback from a client and it's not positive. It's something that is feedback that you need to improve your business. So where are you at mentally? If you're drained and you are on the verge of burnout, you're going to take it so much harder. You're going to probably take it personally. You might get upset and maybe say something, God forbid, that you regret. And then you might feel disenchanted with your services. So guess what? When you are rested, when you have feedback from another person, such as a coach or consultant like yourself, Lisa, then that's when you're going to be able to be more informed in your communication. You're going to be more energized in your emotional state and your well-being. And you're going to be able to show up in a way that's authentic in a relationship with your clients and customers, because that's where you really are able to be yourself. And that's so beautiful. It's when you can show up to be yourself, not somebody else, not any other person that you're trying to be. When you can be yourself and you can feel good about the way that you run your business, that's where the true transformation comes. Because when you allow yourself to be you at your best self, you empower others to be their best selves too.
Absolutely. And also when you keep in mind and always remember in the forefront that any and everything you do is bigger than you. It's never about you, and it's always bigger than you. We're just vessels. We're just vessels here to feed and pour into others. So it's a beautiful thing that we do. I'm so blessed and grateful that I've been chosen and called to do it. Even on the days when sometimes I'm like, why have I been chosen and called to do it? Even yes. On those days, right? It's like, but I'm still grateful. I'm still grateful. So I just have a question to ask you, my dear. I just want to ask you, what is the legacy that you would like to leave?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think I would, you know, I don't currently have children, but right now, but my hope in the legacy that I have with this business is to have a business that is fun to run, that empowers my friends and my family in order to see that I can show up to be my best self with my work, but be completely invested in my family, and that I don't have to sacrifice my health, my well-being, my family to run the business, because that is really the legacy that I want to leave, that other people don't have to be consumed with working and overworking and just going overboard and overstressed, and being able to say, I am happy with the work that I do. I'm happy that I can help other people. I'm happy that I can show up with my family, and I don't have to sacrifice my family for me to work.
I like that. Because that, I think that that has been what we have been doing for so long in this world. We've been sacrificing our families. And I think I always say with Corona, that's one of the lessons that I think the world has been taught, for us to slow down and get back to family. The world was definitely put on a slow pace to get back to family. So I like that. My question here is, where can my audience stay connected to you on social media?
Yeah, so I am available on Facebook. That's mostly where I hang out. And that's, I'm on Facebook at Inspired Courses is where I'm on my little Facebook group. It's really small, but it's a bunch of really great intimate people and space where we chat about our lives. We chat about ways that we can help improve each other's courses and ways that we can be there to support each other through online digital course creation. So I'm right there on Facebook at Inspired Courses for Facebook group. And then, of course, you can just always check me out on my website at thecourseconsultant.com.
And we will also have your social media handles in the description so that they can also click on it there. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and just drop some gems on us, because you have dropped many today. I truly appreciate you, my dear.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
And if you want to stay connected with her, we will have her information in the description. Until we speak again, always remember to be loyal to your greatness and live your greatness out loud. Have a good one.
Hey, greatness. My podcast drops the second and fourth Thursday of every month, but bosses have to stay connected. So follow me on all social media. I am Lisa Geis. You can also stay connected on Facebook at the Women Reign Network. Women Reign Network. And if you're looking for a business opportunity, I'm looking for power partners. If you're looking for an opportunity that pays you weekly, send me a message. Let's get that money. Until we speak again, always remember to be loyal to your greatness and live your greatness out loud.